Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night and then I'll be back.
Well, okay. If not, I'll look in the field for you out there.
comes on about 8, 8:30, they'll be kicking it till midnight or something like that. You know.
Right.
Everybody's going to breakfast after us. That's pretty late by the time you hit this wave.
Well, you know, it's, I know it's past your bedtime.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll just leave you sleeping in the field when I get up there. That's some dog relieving himself on your face or something up there, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see who this, got somebody here. Let's see who this is.
Hey, caller, you're live. Talk to us. What's up?
You guys there?
Yeah. Talk to us.
Hey, Bill, I called to apologize.
Don't apologize. Just send me a check. It's okay.
Okay, money always works. How about chocolates?
What do you want to apologize about?
How you doing, Art?
Doing good. I did not mean to question your manhood last week.
No, I told you, sir, I have got written affidavits to support my claim.
I have no doubt.
I appreciate the black humor you have to throw that in. And you threw it in very quickly, right on cue. So that was kind of good timing, brother.
Well, I just came in from the MMA meeting and kicked it up. And that was about all that I heard prior to the music coming on. And I've heard that before, and I think it's a beautiful rendition. But it just cracked me up to hear that. And then the music came on, I was thinking, this is too easy.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you lay yourself out there and you can't get out of it. You're just stuck with that.
Yeah.
What's new up in the mountain? You got any rain up there yet?
Not yet. It's been dark all day. We're supposed to possibly get some snow.
Yeah, I got the bike outside. I'm a little concerned that I'll get dumped on. But it's only about maybe 5-6 miles from my house, so it can't be no big deal.
Yeah.
I brought the chaps just in case. Plan B was take the truck. Yeah. That didn't seem like a good program.
Yeah.
Did we mention to you, or did you pick up the fact that we have a big swap meet at our shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, next Saturday, the 4th, maybe, is it?
Yeah.
By the Wolfpack out of San Diego?
I am going to get a hold of the ladies over there and that are running that thing. I think that bike shop, the bike crew that's running, it's a bunch of ladies, right?
No, the Wolfpack's a family club.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
Wolfpack. Okay. But I'm going to get a hold of them. I'm going to get a booth up so I can put some MMA stuff out.
Okay.
Okay.
If you can't reach them, you can call me tomorrow. I've got their numbers in my files and all that. And there's a one person trying to coordinate all the stuff. That would be Wrench. And if you want, I'll give you the number to all that. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good, then. Sounds good.
Yeah, Art sent us this thing about that. You want to talk about that ticket camera photos not holding up in California courts?
Yeah, there's seems to be a lot of them out of L.A. County that are getting thrown out because they can't face their accuser, who's a company
right.
out of Australia. And the courts, they're losing it in traffic court, but they're winning in the appeals court because the cops get a packet of information, I guess, and that qualifies them to be an expert. And they don't...
FBI got him. CIA. Homeland Security got Art. He was a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
I felt kind of sorry to lose him, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You still there, Art?
No. Yeah, he's got to dial back in.
They evaporated him?
No, they haven't. I think he... I don't know. We'll find out when he calls.
Does he have a cheap phone? Is that the problem?
No.
All right. Well, I have to pay attention to what he says. I blew a red light. It's whatever.
Hello, caller.
Yo. Phil.
How you doing?
Phil, you there?
Yeah.
Pete from Boston.
Hey,
Phil and Bill. How are you doing, my brothers?
Well, is that Gino on the other line?
Yeah, put him on. He's there, too, yeah.
How you doing, Gino?
Hey, guys.
Good. What's happening?
Not much.
What
are
we talking
breaking
about?
You, East
Coast
guys,
about
because
of
the bad
court?
Weather and all that. I'm telling you, the sky's pitch black outside. I think I'll get rained on going home, but it didn't look black enough for me to take the truck in. The bike's outside. I'll make it.
Lucky you, man. It's freezing, yeah.
Yeah, we're riding around in the snow.
No.
We're getting rained.
Around in the snow, but I'm going to be rained going home tonight, but, you know, what the hell.
Hey,
Yeah.
We'll let you guys talk about anything you want. I'm just going to let you know in about 10 or 15 minutes, this guy's going to call in. We're going to give him the chair, and then we'll go right back to you. But
all right.
Pete, you wanted to talk about your case?
Oh, yeah, why not? I got found guilty on January 19th. I was arrested in February 2010 by the Massachusetts State Police. I was coming home from a casino. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Not saying I never have.
How you spoke, famous?
What? Let me tell my story real quick, will you, Gino?
Oh, no, I was just talking to you.
I'm coming home from Foxwoods Casino, which is in Connecticut, and some kid gets in back of me, and I was weaving a little bit on the road because I was tired. I was, you know, sleepy at the wheel. So the state police set up a roadblock, basically. Had nothing better to do. It was a Tuesday night. Pulled me over, took one look at me, had guns out, had a German Shepherd out, threw me to the ground, you know, shackled me, arrested me, gave me some tests, which I passed. But still, they still thought I was under the influence of something. Got me back to the state police barracks, insulted the shit out of me, had me drop my pants. They were checking for tattoos that weren't there. They thought I had weapons on me. They thought I had drugs up my ass. They thought everything. They thought I was fucking Charlie Manson. You know, they thought I was this person that they took a look at me, get the long hair and the beard and the tattoos, and, you know, and it's my look. Once they ran my background and they saw I had a couple things on and nothing major, they changed it to a little bit, but they still, I mean, it was 2 hours of mental torture. It was ridiculous. I mean, and I'm suing them now, and I don't care if they're listening. I got found guilty for OUI drugs, and the drugs they said that impaired my driving were my heart pills that I take. I take heart pills because I've had two heart attacks, and they said that they believe that I shouldn't have been taking my heart pills. So a man that has a bad heart, that has chest pain, should not pop a couple heart pills. These same heart pills that I take, I've taken them for 2 years. They don't make me drowsy. They don't make me dizzy. Mm-hmm. They had nothing better to do. They set me up. It's a bullshit. This story has been told on more radio shows, and it's going to be told on Gino's TV show. He has his own two TV shows he does. And a lot of people have taken an interest in it because it's really a bullshit case. You know, and it was pure discrimination. I wasn't even on a motorcycle. I was in my car. They ripped my car
apart. How far were you from your house when it happened?
15 minutes, bro. 15 minutes, okay?
I'm trying to put it together in my head, all right.
I waited 15 minutes before I took my heart pills. I even told the cops. I said, look, these don't make me pills don't make me drowsy. But I waited until I was closer to my house. I had just driven 100 miles. I was tired. That's all it was, and they had me in leg shackles and hand shackles, and they yelled. My mother bailed me out. They were yelling at my mother for no reason, and it just pissed me off. And every time they made an insult to me in the barracks, the state police barracks, they covered their mouths over with their hands because everything in there is video. I don't know if it's audio. It might not be, but they probably figured at one point I'd make a complaint against them, and I'm in that process now. But I was found guilty, and on the 19th, I lost my license. I got to do a class, and they got a ton of fines. But it's in the appeals process, and they'll pay in the end, you know. I told them my only crime was I shouldn't have been at the casino gambling. That's my only crime. I said I shouldn't have been. I told the cops straight out. I said, you know what my crime here is? I was gambling. I shouldn't have been there gambling. You know, I had sold. I had taken a deposit on my Harley. I had some tough times, and I took the deposit and blew up the casino. And I told them that's my only crime. I said, you have nothing on me. No drug test. They gave me 3 breathalyzers, 0.0 every time. I don't drink. I never did. They never gave me a drug test. I had no drugs in my system, nothing. So 2 of the charges were dropped. The 3rd one stuck. Gino was there at the trial with me. He walked out because the judge saw him. He knew him, and he knew his background. He knows the name. Not a big secret. You Google Gino's name, you're going to read his story, you know. So the judge, you know, didn't use Gino against me, obviously. He didn't. He already had his mind made up when he found me guilty. He already knew he was going to find me guilty. And the judge, when he found me guilty, said to me and my lawyer, he said, appeal my decision. This judge is like 80 years old. He should have retired like 100 years ago. You know, but he's like, appeal my decision. Why did he say that? Because he knows he was wrong. But he had to make the state police look good because they were there and they were testifying against me. You know, and the guy with the long hair and the tattoos didn't win. The system had to win.
Here against you is like, you're not an illegal immigrant. You're an American citizen driving on an American road.
That's right.
You have the absolute right to do this. And the fact that they do
again, I got long gray hair down my back and gray goatee and all that stuff. Screwdriver's got long hair down his back. They just don't like the way we look. Well,
no,
as
no.
Americans, we have to confront this.
Bro, when it was a rookie that stopped me. When he walked up to the car, it's like he saw Charlie Manson sitting there. He was, like, shocked. He was like, whoa. He's on his radio calling for backup. Before you know it, there's five cruisers on the highway, and they got a dog, and they get guns out, and they physically, three of them, pulled me out of the car. I wasn't fighting or anything. You know, I went along with everything they asked me to do. And they just, they took one look at me, and I'm short, but I'm 230 pounds. And, you know, I could have, they looked at me, and they're like, oh, my God, it's a biker with long hair. Watch out. I can't even get on a motorcycle anymore. Because the cops, 60 seconds later, are stopping me. You know how it is. You guys know how it is. You know?
Very
you know,
well.
Last time they
you know,
pulled a screwdriver over, they had him handcuffed sitting on the curb. They took his helmet off because he wouldn't take it off. Now, we're used to this type of treatment. It's something we don't give up on, but we can't give in. I salute you and I applaud you for sticking up for your rights.
Well, thanks. And, you know, that's why I call in your show. I call in Hermes' show. You know, I'm going on Gino's TV, and it's just I don't care if the police are here are listening or if they've seen me on TV or anything. It's the bottom line is what they did to me was wrong. You know, I said to them, you got the state police in Massachusetts. They go to church every Sunday. Most of them they're Catholics, okay? And I said to them, I always say this on the radio. So you guys are Catholics, right? You believe in Jesus. They're like, of course we do. We go to church every Sunday in Dorchester or wherever they go to church out there in Boston. I said, well, you know, what did Jesus Christ look like, right? Long hair and a beard, right? And they're like, it's just like me, kinda, huh? Just like me a little bit, long hair, a beard, I dress differently, I talk differently, I have a different group of friends. I says, you guys are doing the same shit to me they did to him 2,000 years ago. Gino, should you comment on this one? You've been through it a million times.
Christ,
how many times have you... Gino's in the 60s, he's been,
been
harassed more times than anybody I know.
I know the judge that was on his case. The whole thing of the judge on his case is the guy's very old. He really tries to explain everything he does. He's a very funny judge, too. The guy's, he's fair, but I told him to go with the
jury
instead, because the guy just goes, you'll see, oh, this guy's not guilty. This guy's guilty. He goes with like a flow. He doesn't... So if he let two people go, he's got to get somebody guilty. He just happened to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Get that right, man. He does, and he explains everything.
That's why he told them to appeal, because he knew it's a bullshit thing. And he's just trying to please the cop. Listen, when I got caught by the feds create crime. The feds,
they do.
Without people ratting, they don't have a case against anybody. Because they're not bright enough. You know, they create crime, too. They'll set you up easy.
Oh, well, of
you
course,
know?
And the state police are just like them, especially in this state.
And then listen, they need bad guys. They got to fill up the prison. That's why they let all all these child molesters and all these idiots out. And the guy who smoked the joint, never had a record, getting 20 years. He'll never get parole. He'll do the whole 20 years.
No.
But they'll let all the other idiots out.
That's right.
Just to keep the flow going. It's a no-brain situation. What it is we got to start voting for people who think the way we think. Bring the country back to the people. Put God back into the country. We got to stop playing these fucking games.
Yeah,
I like the idea we have to stand up. When you guys were talking about Dorchester 2 minutes ago, right?
What's that?
When you guys know Dorchester back there?
Dorchester,
yeah,
it's in Boston.
I wouldn't go by the town without holding a gun in my hand.
Yeah, Dorchester's bad news, but that's where all the cops go to. They go to church there, all the state police. You see them out there on Sunday.
My relatives are also Southie. I come from the real rich part of Boston. City Point Housing Project. You ever heard of that one?
Of course.
Yeah, it's the cesspool of cesspools.
I'll tell you,
the destroyed
the
whole housing project. But that's where I grew up with all my relatives, being in Southie across the bay there, Carson Beach and all that.
In Boston, as you know, you have Dorchester, Roxbury, Mattapan. Those are the worst parts of Boston. But you have West Roxbury. There's million-dollar houses there. It's beautiful. you know. And but right next door, you get shithole Roxbury, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Gino just said, you got to drive by with your windows up and your doors locked and the gun between your legs, you know,
well,
because you never know
you
who's going
to
fire
know.
At you.
My growing up in Boston taught me an awful lot. And come to California when I was 15 years old with my family, I thought this was like paradise. These people had no idea of anything of what real struggle was.
You made the right move going to California, bro, because you know how it is here. You lived here, you know. It sucks.
I grew up on the west side of Chicago, so I know I can relate.
Oh, that's tough, too.
Six blocks from Cabrini Green.
Yep.
You got to live back there to appreciate that.
Now, Southie's tough, too, in Boston. Southie's real tough. I tell you the truth. I mean, I feel more safe in Roxbury, which is mostly black, than I do in Southie, which is mostly white Irish, you know. I just don't like going through Southie. I've gotten to fights there. I've gone through Roxbury, no problem, you know, and there's black gangs everywhere and everything. You go through Southie, it's different. You get the Irish gangs and the hoodlums hanging out, and they, you know, I don't know. I just don't like Southie. It's tough. It's too much trouble. There's a lot of drugs down there.
A tough neighborhood.
Yeah, very, very tough neighborhood.
I want to tell you, my wife and I flew back 2 years ago to the Logan Airport, and we're getting off state patrol everywhere. My wife said, "Is this a professional football team?" I said, "No, these boys are just that big." Every cop in that airport was a giant. They're full of steroids. I couldn't believe it. There was no normal person there.
Well, that's the master race, bro. You know, that's the master race, the Mass State Police. They're like Nazis, like Hermit says, you know. They want to be Nazis. They're not even close to what the Nazis used to be. You know, they even molded the goddamn uniform after the Nazis. They stole their uniform, you know. But you're right, they're big. They have a requirement, the state police in Massachusetts.
I didn't know that.
You can't be, yeah, they do. When you go to before, I know a couple, my uncle was a state trooper, he's dead now. You go before a panel, you know, and they won't hire anybody that's little. And they won't tell you that, but that is a known thing. You have to be pretty good size to be a trooper. There's no little troopers. However, the couple, when I got arrested in February, there were a couple little ones there. I don't know how they got on. They must have known somebody.
Relatives.
You know, I don't know, but boy, Gino, you've dealt with enough state troopers to know. I mean, have they always been big guys or what?
Oh yeah, one stopped me one day and I had bags. I picked up bags of shit and stuff from elderly ladies who were cleaning out a doghouse and stuff. And he stopped me and says, "Oh, what's in the bags?" I said, "Dog shit." He thought I was kidding him. He went in back to the truck, started to open them up. Jumps back out and he looks at me and says, "Ah, go ahead, go. I don't even want to talk." Because he got all the shit on his boots.
Hey, Phil. Bill, check this out. Gino, we're having lunch one day, and I'm with Gino, and we're sitting there, and he shows me his fist. Gino shows me his fist. And there's two white things in his knuckles. And I says, "What are those?" He says, "Teeth from a state trooper that he hit years ago."
Yeah,
Never had the teeth removed. He left them in his fist.
I'm looking at a guy that has, believe it or not, 172 assaults against the police department and a manslaughter, negligent homicide, and still out in the streets. So don't tell me there ain't a guy.
Well, no, but you just said it. They don't, you know, it's the guys on the corner smoking a joint that they put in jail, not nothing against you, Gino.
I did time and everything else. But back in the 70s, when you fight a cop, it was like 30 days. Today you
It was just a misdemeanor. It never was anything serious back in the day.
No. Get away with everything. You know, we live in Massachusetts is a Nazi state now, so, you know, we're screwed.
Oh, we're not in a Nazi
communist
state.
It's a communist country anyway.
People can fight all that stuff.
And I'm Russian. I got relatives in Russia that are communists, and I say that. This whole country's goddamn communist. Anyway.
No, this isn't a communist. It's how the people are. It's who you vote for. It's not a communist country. We could change.
Who did you vote for?
We're in a country. We don't need a passport to go from state to state.
Let me ask you a question. Do you vote?
If we ever do get a passport to go state from state, I'll never leave the town. I'll never
either. Hey, Gino, did you vote?
Yes, of course I vote.
Did you vote for Obama?
Oh no. I like that.
Okay.
I think someone to be a president should be someone who is
not the Antichrist?
The Antichrist could be the government. You know, you
that's
know
Obama.
What's going on. Obama's not the Antichrist, and the Pope ain't the Antichrist.
Looks a lot like the devil to me.
No,
hey, can you guys hold on for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Well, we got a short little thing we're going to do, and then we'll go right back to
help
you.
Help these people out.
But I'll leave you unmuted in case you got any questions.
Yeah, jump in about the question.
Art, you're unmuted too. Hello, Ken.
Okay.
How are you?
Ken, you alive and well? Ken?
I'm alive and well. Bill, how you doing, man?
Good to hear you. Brother, what's going on this weekend? You guys, something going on Sunday, right?
Yeah, you know, we're putting a benefit together for a good friend of ours, Bo Barlow, needs a new wheelchair, and, you know, he's been a long time supporter of the motorcycle world, and we think it's the least we can do to get him on a set of wheels that doesn't give him bed sores, you know what I mean?
Ironhead, listen, there's the people from different parts of the state, different parts of the country, listen to you. Would you mind telling us what organization you're with? And, again, this is a member of your club that you're getting the wheelchair for?
No, you know, I'm Ironhead Regional Vice President, Sober Riders Motorcycle Club here in Southern California. And Bo is not a member, but he's been he's a good guy that supports the motorcycle, really the entire motorcycle world, you know?
Mm-hmm. How old
and,
is he? I don't think I met him.
You know, Bo,
Ironhead, how old is he?
He's in his late 30s. You know, he got he had back surgery in 1998. And then got in an automobile accident that left him paralyzed from the waist down. And prior to the accident, he was a motorcycle enthusiast, and, you know, he still very much is. He just, unfortunately, the best set of wheels we can get him again right now would be a set of wheels that doesn't cause him pain to sit in. And that's what we're aiming to do on Sunday.
Hey, listen, with being in the chair and all that for a while, how's his weight? Is he a heavy set guy?
He's a big guy. Actually, the wheelchair that we're getting for him is custom built specifically for his size.
Yeah, that was the question I had. Yeah.
Yeah, he's you know, since 1999 he's been all upper body, you know. So
yeah.
He's definitely.
Let's give the authorized dealership a promo. Tell us where it's going to be at, brother.
You know, it's going to be at Biggs Harley Davidson in San Marcos. That's 1040. You have to excuse my. My Boston accent, but it's Los Vallecitos. How did I do? I almost
hey,
sounded like a native.
I'm South Boston, huh? Don't forget.
No, I know.
I'm from Dorchester, so, you know.
There you go. My mother grew up on Dodd Ave. Works for
there
me, man.
Go.
So, yeah, we got food from Hodads. They've been good enough to donate food. They're coming down, and there's going to be a band and obviously a ton of bikes, and should be a great time. It's from noon to 4.
All right, now what if I can't make it? Of course I can, but what if people listen to this, they're interested in trying to help you out, but they can't make it? How can they get involved?
You know, they can actually go to www.wheelsforbo.com, and they can make a donation through a PayPal account.
All right, if you want to just show up that day for the event, how much you can charge for the party and
yeah,
all that?
And we're not charging anything, you know, but we're requesting a $10 donation to help Bo out. I mean, if you got $3 and you want to hang out and have a good time, we'd love to see you.
You know, for $10, you're giving us some food, some musica, and a lot of good people. That's damn cheap, brother. You can't beat that anywhere.
It's cheaper than going out for dinner, you know?
Exactly. All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. Then we got a lot of show going on. Anything else you want to add to that, Ironhead? First of all, where the hell you been? I haven't seen you at the shop or anywhere. You all right?
I'm around. I'm doing well, actually. I was thinking of taking a ride up so you guys can see what I did with that FXR I got from you. It's come a long
all
way.
Right, good deal. And don't forget, we got that swap meet coming up in 2 weeks at with that Wolfpack. And my shop,
mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
I did.
Okay, good. They're doing a big, there's no charge to come in. Everybody in the community can sell the parts and all that. So do what we can to spread the money around a little bit.
Absolutely.
Hopefully I'll be able to see you on that Saturday, the 4th, I guess, or the 5th, whatever the hell it is.
If I'm not working, I'm there.
All right, brother. Anything else you want to say tonight?
No, that's it. Thank you so much. And really, I look forward to seeing so many of you people helping Bo out. We appreciate it. He most certainly appreciates it. And, you know, it's an easy way to do something good for someone, you know?
Well, we like you guys, the fact that I want you to know that any event you have coming on, please, you don't have to wait for the invitation from me. Just pick the phone up. Let us know. and come on the air. Let everybody else know what's going on. Okay, buddy?
And we'll. All right. And I'm even going to tell you that Bill's one friend in China is listening.
Hey.
And Bill's other friend in Iran is listening too.
I like the Iranian
right
guy.
Yeah, we actually.
You know what? I have nothing against the Chinese people. It's the damn Chinese government. That's who I argue with all the time on the air with. I have no problem with the Chinese.
Yeah, we got a bunch of friends in Iran too. Iran and Iraq as well, but they're all fighting for us right now, you know.
There you go. Let's never forget those guys.
Absolutely.
God forbid they call me back. Because that's not going to happen, boys and girls.
We're
going to have everybody fighting on the front line with sticks and stones before they call me back into the outfit. I don't know about
you.
You'd probably go back in, wouldn't you? Yeah,
you
sure you would, Jesus. What about you, Iron? Think about it for one quick second. If they called you up.
If they call me up, I'd leave. I'd go in a heartbeat.
Yeah, good.
You know? I mean, I don't really need to, though. I'm willing to defend the front line right here at my door. You know? That's where it starts.
Exactly.
Well, trying to get our issue
the only thing Bill volunteered, anybody that leaves, he'll take care of your family while you're gone.
I wouldn't do this for anybody, but anybody out there that goes overseas, you want to call me up. I will do my best to take your girlfriend or your wife out to dinner or something. I would do that for my friends going overseas. You know.
Thanks, Bill. Just know that I got an autistic kid that'll poke your eyes out. He's a mean little bastard when he loses it. He comes
with
the deal. All right, Bill.
All right, yeah, we appreciate that. Look, fair talking to you soon again, okay, brother?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Bill.
Bye-bye.
All right. Another guy from Boston. Hey, shit. I didn't know that guy for many years. I didn't know he was East Coast.
So we still got
California?
Yeah, he's San Diego.
Northern San Diego.
Well, all the smart people from Boston go to California. It's a known fact.
That's where it still comes in.
I did a little thing in San Diego when I was on the run. It was funny. We went boat sailing, the club I was in. And
yep.
We used to play these Viking games, and we used to charge these little boats with the sails, and we used to run into each other, all these Viking games. Mine's the only boat that sank, and the guy couldn't believe it. He had that talk, you know, and he thinks I stole his boat. To this day, he still thinks I stole the boat.
You know, one of the advantages I got to say about being in San Diego is that Screwdriver is so close to Mexico. Much as I tell everybody I love this country, it's the best country in the world. We have to go down into Mexico to really let it all out. Bob Murray and I were going down to Rosarito just a month ago. We were on the highway. It was 65 miles an hour. We're doing 75. I wasn't bothering anybody. Mexican cops, they have a blue light, not the red light. They have blue lights. I looked in the mirror. The guy came up, and he said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going down to Rosarito, pop some beers to a bar." The guy said, "Andale, andale." Escorted me for 20 miles to the bar. I tried to bring the cop inside for a drink. He said, "I had to go back out." I just don't have that type of love in America.
You give 20 bucks at $30, you can get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That's not extortion. That's just dealing with the issue.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's funny about that red light, blue light thing?
Let me
tell him this, Gino, real quick. In Connecticut, the state police used to use red lights. They only use red. So I'm going down the highway going to the casino. This was a few years ago, and there's a car in back of me with red lights going, a strobe light, a light bar, and take down lights on and everything. And I didn't stop. I thought it was an ambulance or a fire truck or something, you know, some type of fire thing. It was the state police, and they chased me. And they finally pulled me over, and the gun's out and all that. I says, "What do you do? You know, I didn't know you're police officer. Didn't you see the lights?" I said, "I saw red lights." I said, "I'm from Massachusetts. We stop for blue, not for red. Red is for, like, fire department, ambulance." Oh, yeah. So now in Connecticut, they use red and blue on that light bar instead of just red. They used to just use red. Who's going to stop for red? I know in California, they use like a solid. I've seen it in movies. They use like what? In California, they use a solid red light to stop cars sometimes, right? Am I right? On the
different
West Coast?
Towns, different portions. Sometimes you got those strobe light effects. They got different things going on.
But a lot of times,
kind
of red.
Different
they don't even use. They use blue in the back, not on the front. They use red, you know? I didn't stop for the Connecticut cop because I thought it it was a Crown Vic, but it had a red light bar, and I didn't stop. I thought it was like a security guard or something. And he stopped me. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm from Mass. Where are your blue lights at? You know, you're a police officer. You're stopping me with red lights." So they've since changed that. You know, but I mean, I see blue lights, I stop. Red, no. I just pull over and let the car go by. But on that particular night, I didn't do anything. I just kept going at 80 miles an hour. Anyway, glad, Gino, you were talking and saying something there. Did you forget what you were going to say, Gino?
No. I'm enjoying the conversations.
I'm sure you got something interesting to tell us. Gino, how was your day today with us? The day of insanity, the three of us.
Yeah, if you want to hunt down, for sure. My poor mother, she's in the hospital. She's 84. She wants to go to Canada. But the whole thing is, down south, like I have an uncle in Arizona, and they don't tell you how these people go across the border and shoot up families and everything else. You know, you can't blame Arizona for doing what they're doing. They're trying to protect the land that they got. And that's what's sad, that we listen to the Mexicans because they're poor, they come over here and they just want to work. Well, Jesus, so do Americans, too. Americans want to work.
I got to interrupt you there. Not only are they coming across the border and they say they want to try to get good jobs, and I believe them, but there is a percentage of them that are crossing the border and they're raiding American families, American homes in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, not so much in Southern California. They're coming across and raiding these like desolate ranches, and that's American citizens they're attacking.
And they come here. They come here in the Ponga boats. They caught another one last night with 18 of them.
Yeah, that's true. Trying to sneak in there, but I mean, they're trying to come across America. But a percentage of them, if you live on the border, you gotta defend yourself.
Right.
They attack American homes. Yeah. They try to rob you.
I saw, I was reading a magazine. There was a guy in his 70s, and he's got a lot of land on the border, and he's there with a rifle. Okay, he says, right in the interview, he says, I will shoot anybody that crosses and gets on my property. And he legally was getting away with it. Illegals were coming onto his property, and he's standing there with his rifle shooting at them. And the cops endorsed it. They loved it. And the guy was like 78 years old. I couldn't believe it.
The hearts that go out there, the Americans, and they drop food and water certain areas so these people to have it. I'm not against people trying to get a better life from. But those people that are attacking the American homes, robbing them, the American homeowners, you and I, we have a right to defend ourselves and our family. And I swear to you, I'm too far from the border. But if I lived on the border, I'd shoot them. I got no feeling whatsoever about that, defending my family.
Well, in Massachusetts, several years ago, they passed a law, and it used to be that if somebody broke into your house and you're armed and licensed, you could shoot them. But now they tell you to climb out the back window. And so basically, okay, let this person steal my TV and my jewelry, and I climb out the back window and wait for the cops to show up? That's bullshit. You know what I mean? It is. You know.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with my family. My family, my everything. I can lose the house. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Lose my possessions. But my family, no, you're not going to insult my family. You're not going to threaten my family. You're not going to hurt my family as long as I can live.
Right
on. As long as I can breathe. And if that comes with weapons or whatever it is, the last thing I'll do is try to push my family out the window and go out the window. That's not going to happen in my life.
Let me ask you guys what you think about this. Today in Kansas, they approved the law that allows bikers to run red lights.
They approved the law to let bikers run red lights.
So a lot of those signals won't turn for us, so they don't have enough weight.
We run them anyway.
Exactly.
I don't know legally how to do it.
Yeah, but it's like if you've ever been itching to run a red light, it just won't change. Kansas decided on Tuesday that motorcycles should be able to do just that. The Kansas House on Tuesday approved a bill that would allow the bikers to run a red light. Signal fails to turn green after a reasonable period of time. The proposal leaves the discretion in the hands of the motorcyclists, but is aimed to ensure riders don't get trapped in perpetuity at an intersection because signals either malfunction or don't detect the motorcycles.
Well, I'm all for that. I mean, as long as it's safely, you know what I mean?
I remember coming out of the bars high. I ran so many red lights, I don't even remember how the hell I even got back to the car.
Yeah, you ran about 10 red lights today, actually, in your mother's car.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just say, if they ain't not coming to the right and left, who cares?
What if they're coming straight at you?
Yeah.
In California, we get those right on us.
If I can't bypass, they're coming straight at me. I've been on the sidewalk before, so.
I've been with you.
You know, what it is the quick thinking, you know?
Now, speaking of red lights, and this has nothing to do, we're laughing here, but I'll tell you something that bothers me, okay? Remember that guy that went in a shooting spree a couple months ago, killed 9 people? A little girl. the psychopath that killed a congresswoman.
Arizona.
Here's what gets me, all right? And I told Hermes to bring it up on one of his shows, but he was short for time, so it didn't come up. I was instant messaging Hermes. I wasn't on the air live, but I was messaging him, and I said, bring this up. The guy that did that shooting ran a red light in his car or truck, whatever he was driving, had guns under the seat. A fish and game officer, a law enforcement officer in Massachusetts, they call environmental police, pulled him over, checked his license and registration, checked nothing else, and let him go. And the guy was a killer and went on to kill, what, 9 people, whatever he did. Now, if that was me or Gito or you guys, he would have had us out of the car searching it, but they let a killer go. He ran a red light, they stopped him, they checked him out, and they let him go, and a few hours later he went and killed everybody.
Yeah,
that really bothered me, because if that was me that ran a red light, they would have pulled me over and searched my damn car and had me in handcuffs or something.
Ted Bundy, he was a Republican, and he was a lawyer, and he had Ted Bundy was one of the biggest serial killers, and he didn't look like he looked like a normal, you know.
He was a lawyer. He looked like a lawyer, because he was a lawyer, Bundy.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. The guy that they stopped looked, he was clean cut, didn't have long hair, beard, nothing, and they let him go based on his appearance. That's what I think. That's what I feel. And they didn't check anything. They just checked his driver's license, okay, registration, and a few hours later he killed a bunch of people. And that fish and game officer is in big trouble now because they're questioning him. Well, he didn't seem agitated or nervous or anything. Didn't you suspect anything? I kind of feel bad for the fish and game officer because he didn't do anything. He just gave him a verbal warning. But it bothered me because here I am with the long hair and a beard and everything, and they're the ones, they stop me every 2 seconds.
Listen, back in the 70s, we all had long hair and beards, okay?
Yeah, we got them
out.
And
I got to tell you something about long hair. When they put up against us a wall they were looking for somebody with long hair and a beard, 30 of us were standing there with long hair and beards. They couldn't figure out who did what or anything.
What was that, in the 60s? What was that, Gino, in the 60s?
Sometimes having long hair and beard works okay.
Gino, I don't think you've ever had long hair in your life. I can't picture you with that.
I did. I had a nice lock of long hair. I had
where did it go?
One girlfriends and a wife. So
where did your hair go? Did it fall out because of me and Paul?
No, it came out because I'm 60. First of all, you got to tell them I'm also 65, and I'm also,
Yeah, we know.
The body's dying, you know what I mean?
You got to put up with me and Paul every day, so that's making your hair fall out right there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you guys, what a day it is with Gino. He's a character. He has his own TV show, two of them, and he literally gets stopped. We'll be at lunch somewhere, and somebody will come over and want a copy of his book and have it signed and everything. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It just truly is a legend, I would say. Gino, I'm complimenting you here.
Yeah.
Truly are a legend, you are. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
You come to Lummis or Pittsburgh, Mass., just ask any cop.
But they're like, there's Gino Gentile. Let's go get a book. Let's get his autograph. And I can't believe it. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, man, what is it? I know you got your own two TV shows, but is that what it is, Gino, or is it just your
I used to do the Morton Downey Jr. show. That's what happened. That's how it started back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I had two shows with Morton Downey Jr., the mouth. Remember the mouth?
I know who he is. He's dead now, isn't he?
Yeah, he died. He drinks a lot.
I can picture you on the Morton Downey Jr. show. You
and the
wrestler there, what's his name, Lou, Big Lou.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
I was there with, I was there once with Lou Albano. Boy, he's
Lou,
a character.
Yeah, Big Lou, yeah.
And I did a thing there with Dr. David Schultz. Wow, what a character he is. So David Schultz, he was a good Dr. Death.
Hey, guys, were you listening to Hermes last night? Phil, you were on there, right?
Yeah. No, Bill isn't, he's not the computer literate yet.
But
he's
Phil,
never
you were
been
on
the
there, right?
Computer literate.
I don't even have a cell phone. I don't have a damn pager. When
I
leave my motorcycle
there, right?
shop, reach me, wait till I get home. That's the way it is.
But, Phil,
I
saw you were online last night, right, on the Hermes show?
Yeah, I was.
Did you hear that girl that called in from Scotland and has the huts for me? What did you think of that? She's a nice girl.
You got long hair and a beard, right?
That's why she likes me. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, back me up here, man. You heard it. All right.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it, but you kind of dropped the ball. You should have just went for broke.
Maybe he's a shy type of a guy.
Yeah, should have went for broke. Oh,
here's the thing. She wants me to come to Scotland. She'll pay and everything, but I can't leave the country. I can't even leave the state. I'm on probation. And
right,
she's
so
the
deal. Your probation's such a joke. Man,
okay, let's not get into my
probation,
but the bottom line
is
I
was on parole for the federal government for 5 years. You want to be on probation.
Yeah, okay, but that's besides the point. The girl has the hots for me. I was flattered by that. Okay, I'm a little shy. He's right, you know, but I, you know, what am I supposed to do?
Tell him you want to go to Scotland. They'll let you go.
I don't know.
That's a problem. One way.
Yeah, they might tell you
one
way.
One way. Stay over there.
Because
you know what they'll say, Phil? Oh, wait a minute. You're friends with Gino Gentile. You can stay in Scotland. We don't want you here in the States. You know?
Yeah, I went out
famous,
of...
The famous man himself, Gino Gentile. Google that name, guys. No, Gino's something of a legend, and a lot of people like him. His father was a cop, actually, which I can't figure out, but, you know, his mother's nice, and Gino's written a few books, and... poetry books, and I'm trying to get him to write an autobiography, but he won't. But what do you think about that, Gino? No autobiography? You don't want to write that book we were talking about?
No, I don't want to write my life story.
I'll write it
something
for you. You just got to dictate.
Yeah,
I think I have enough in my head now that you've told me that it would be a bestseller.
They were talking, the people that run Ben Affleck's stuff wanted to do my life story. They did The Fighter, a guy from Lowell.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I'm not going to do that. No way.
That'd be
how many times dead? Then they can do it. You know, I think I've done enough damage.
That's not a bad idea, though. Who do you think would play you in the movie? Would it be like, wouldn't be Mickey Rourke?
Marlon Brando's dead, so we can't have him.
It seems like they're using Mickey Rourke for a lot of stuff, though. You know, he's not really a big guy. He played the wrestler. He was pretty big in that movie.
That guy.
He's not the tallest guy, though, I'll tell you.
Well,
not the tallest guy at all, but he actually is a very, very good
like
person.
That.
He doesn't have any ego or attitude around.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Chuck Zito trained him, you know.
Yeah.
Chuck Zito trained him.
Chuck Zito trained him.
He became a boxer and a fighter. Yeah, he helped train him. He used to do a lot of stunts for Van Damme and that.
You ever seen Chuck Zito's golden glove he wears around his neck? Boxing glove? That's Mickey Rourke gave that to Chuck as a... for all the work he did, all the help we gave to him with that. And Chuck still wears that every day, to my knowledge.
I remember 6 or 7 years ago, I was doing security at some hospital, and I had the radio on. I was listening to Howard Stern. And Van Damme was at... let me tell you a story, Gino. Van Damme was at Scores Nightclub in New York City, where Howard Stern hangs out there, Chuck Zito. And Van Damme walks in, and he had his bodyguards with him, and he bumped into Chuck Zito. And he said something to the effect of, you want to take your beating here, you want to take it outside. And Zito knocked him out with one punch. And the ambulance came,
that's
they
right.
took Van Damme out in a stretcher, and took pictures of it. I thought it was pretty funny, because I never liked Van Damme anyway. I think he's a punk. And I don't think he can fight. I think he's all show, you know. But Chucky knocked him out.
Van Damme trained with points contact. You never get full contact training. All his initial training was all points,
dancer,
and touch, you know,
Van
and all that.
Van Damme was a dancer.
His style, but I don't think he's a fighter.
No, he's not a fighter. He's not a street fighter. He's all for show.
They want to do a movie with him. Steven Seagal didn't want to do a movie because he was a dancer. Steven Seagal is really martial arts. He's a champion.
Yeah.
He's a different, a whole different thing, really. But
Chuck Zito knocked him out with one punch, and you go online, you search, and you can find the article and read all about it. And Howard Stern was making fun of Van Damme because he shot his mouth off, and the guy got educated.
That's too bad.
Because he used to be Chuck Zito's bodyguard at one point, I guess, and they didn't get something happened there.
No, Chuck Zito, was the bodyguard.
He was Van Damme's bodyguard.
Bodyguard Sylvester Stallone. You know, in the movie The Wiz, with all black
Michael Jackson,
Michael Jackson and that.
Yeah.
Well, the bikers that were on that thing, though, those were all Hell's Angels, because nobody else would drive through that maze like that. They had to use Hell's Angels to do that. And Dizzy Russell was pissed because Dizzy Russell, this was an all black show. But he had a whole bunch of, you know, but it took Hell's Angels to drive the bikes. you know, do it through the way of people's seat and all that. Okay, that's
You know, so Andrew, for a second, I want to put you on hold. We have another quick call. We got to jump in here. So please don't leave us. Stay with us if you can.
Hello, John.
John, are you on, buddy? John Del Santo.
Yes, yes. How you doing?
Hey, brother. How are we doing today? How you feel?
Other than my hearing is getting less and less and less, so if I ask you to say something twice, you're going to have to pardon me for it.
You're worth the wait. Once, twice, three times. Whatever, brother. What's new in your life?
Okay, and we've got a new bill. Biden just had a new bill put in, a helmet law revision bill. Number was AB-695. This is for California. And it just went in. And what it will do is it would exempt a driver, a motorcycle rider who is either 18 years of age and has completed a motorcycle safety training program, or who is at least 18 years of age and has been a licensed motorcycle rider in any state for 2 years. So those are the conditions of it. And, you know, as of right now, it has, excuse me, has nothing to do with the passenger. The passenger would still have to wear a helmet. But, you know, there can be revisions put in that.
Yeah. Well, you know, out of Washington, they introduced a bill. It's House Bill 1984. But it's into consideration right now. But it would remove all the language for the use of motorcycle helmets in the state of Washington.
I didn't catch all of that. Like I said, my hearing is not...
Well, they introduced a bill in Washington State to fully repeal the helmet law.
Okay.
John, listen to me. Bill Kennedy again. You gave me that picture and asked me to do it there, do it right. April the 8th or the 9th, I don't have my schedule in front of me. I'm doing a run for the paralyzed vets and the PVA at the hospital.
April 2nd.
April 2nd?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll get back to you. Anyway, that picture you gave me, would you tell everybody listening what that picture was, the one you and Fran gave me? Describe that picture, sir.
I'm not sure what Fran did. Which picture was it?
The one with the little girl and the flowers? At the Vietnam traveling wall?
Oh, yes, right. That was a great picture that Fran caught. It was up at that traveling wall.
Yes.
And the traveling Vietnam wall. And there was a little girl in front of the wall with flowers.
Hey, I'm running out of lines, Pete. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, and then there was behind her, there were a couple of soldiers. And so their reflection showed in the wall. It was just a super picture. Really, really cool.
Well, the paralyzed veteran run in April, whatever the correct date is, sir, I'm going to post that, and we'll see about doing a, what do you call it?
Dedication?
No. Raise some money, how? Come on, work with me. Auction. I'm going to try to ask everybody auction that off, excuse me, for the paralyzed veterans run. I'll send flyers out for you that, okay?
Oh, cool. Do me a favor. Have someone send an email to me about that paralyzed veterans run so that I can post that and advertise it.
Right now.
We'll take care of that for you right now.
Okay, cool.
Screw, I was going to take care of that for you.
Okie doke. Hey, I thank you much.
That's about it. I go, you know what? I got that diabetes ride up in Orange County. The bad ride. Maybe you might make that one of these times. I hope you can, brother.
Okay, I'm going to have a hearing aid in about 2 weeks. I'll be much easier to talk to.
All right, brother.
Okay,
well,
thank
you. Well, in that case, anything else happening in the motorcycle world of laws and all that, John? Any other bills being passed or any more red light issue cameras or what's going on?
I'm sorry, one more time?
What else information about the laws can you share with us?
I'm not hearing you.
All right, brother. Well, then we'll cut it off tonight, and I'll be talking to you soon. Say hello to Fran for me, okay?
Okay, will do. By the way, we got something we're working on with motorcycle only safety stops, cop stops.
But tell us about that.
There's nothing concrete yet, so I'll let you know when there is.
You don't want to tip his hand.
All right, thank you, John.
Okay. See you guys.
Right. See you later. For you people listening, that's John Del Santo. He's for a screwdriver and I, he's our go-to guy. He researches every law there is. We had a wonderful what he's done recently, and I know he's not not interested in getting any publicity for himself. He brought signs on the freeways telling everybody slow down, watch out for motorcycles. One man by himself.
That's the Amber Alert lights.
The Amber Alert lights. He did that all by himself. So when people say, what can I do? Here's a man in San Diego that got everybody on the California freeways watching out for motorcycles. So that's what one man can do. What else you got going on there, screwdriver?
Not much.
All right. Who else we got calling?
We still got Pete on the phone.
Pete, you still with us?
Yeah, I don't know, Gino, what happened. Gino, his mind wanders, so he
said goodnight to us.
He said he got another call.
Oh, is that what he said? It's probably one of his bitches, I don't know. He's got more women, he's 65 years old, his cell phone doesn't stop ringing, he's texting, and he's all over the road, and he's something else, he's something, boy. He's a nice, good guy, he's a good guy.
It's a good time to point out to you that I'm 63 years old, I have long gray hair, gray beard. I live on my bike 7 days a week from L.A. down to Mexico back and forth. Us old guys got it going, guys. I'm telling you, we got it going.
Oh, I've never seen anything like him. He's a machine. I mean, he's old school like you guys, like you. I don't know. You said you're 63 and he's 60. Gino's 65, and I just, I don't know. I'm 41, and I can't believe my mother's the same way. The amount of energy that people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s have. I'm 41. I'm friggin' lazy. You know, but
we know here in California, you got to have high energy because we have a lot of clubs throughout California. And for us to be going, we got to stay an awful lot. In fact, Screwdriver and I split up the weekend. He did a lot of stuff up north. I do a lot of stuff down south. There's too much for us to go. We have to divide up with that. But here in California especially, we don't get much bad weather, so we're on the road every single weekend.
Let me ask you this question. This is a stupid question, but does it snow in California?
Yeah, in the mountains. Tomorrow night it'll be down at 1,000 feet.
I'm living right on the screwdriver and I are pretty much on the ocean. We look right out our back door, and we can see three sets of different mountains, which are all snowbound.
You know why? It's
where
funny.
I live, it's 5 minutes to get in the water, 45 minutes to get in the snow, 50 minutes for me to get into Mexico.
Wow.
I'll give you an idea about that.
That's cool, man.
Snow where we live close to the ocean, though, except for rare rarities.
You know, I made myself look like a fool because I was on Facebook a few weeks ago, and this girl, she writes to me, and she says, getting any snow there in Massachusetts? I says, oh, yeah, we're getting bombarded. She says, so are we. So I clicked on her profile. I saw she lived in California. So I says, oh, she's going to be a phony. So, you know, I'm on Facebook. So I wrote back to her. I said, instant messaging. I said, it snows in California? And then she said to me, yes, it does. And I'm like, I never knew that. I guess I'm a dummy. But you said in the mountains, right? So not, you wouldn't go to L.A. and it'd be snowing out, obviously, right?
I tell you, though, that this is going to surprise you. My wife loves the snow. I can't stand it. Every year or every other year, we go down to Palm Springs, get a hotel room, and I take a tram from Palm Springs to desert.
Yeah, that's
up to the top of the mountain so my wife can play with the snow.
Yeah, but
turn around and come back down to Palm Springs.
What do you see on the tram on the way up there?
On the tram? What do you see what?
What do you see on the way up there?
I don't see no snow.
No, then obviously you forgot that news colony is right there.
It's always been. I used to go there in the 60s, for God's sake, too.
Really? I think I've heard of that place.
Yeah, there's a nice little lake or something down there. You jump
what
off
do
the rocks.
They go swimming naked in the snow.
But I like to take this tram to the top of the mountain, put my heavy jackets on, step off, play in the snow, get back on the tram, take my jackets off, go back down to Palm Springs. That's my life. That's my adventure with snow.
Well, that's nice that you can do that, you know, because we can't do that here, you know. The closest I get to that is coming in from ice cold, freezing outside to my apartment, which is 80 degrees. You know, that's about it.
Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. I want to play this song. And I'll let you introduce it, Bill.
I would, but I don't know where we are. Oh, you would just say his name. You would say it better. I get the name wrong always.
Axel Rudy Pell.
Rudy Pell.
And
it's going to be Forever Angel. This affects all people. Pick the words you want out of this.
Right.
These are our friends, but this is for all the people who ride motorcycles.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
hope you guys appreciate that. I remind everybody again, Screwdriver and I are two independent writers. We just like the music, and no matter which affiliation that you belong to, you can take some words out of that song, and it'll make you feel good.
Yeah, that's a great...
Well, you know, John didn't sound too good, did he, John Del Santo?
No, he's a little bit under the diabetes is kicking his ass, so...
I'm doing an event, as you know. We're going to do an event up there for the diabetes. I'm hoping to get him up there for it. He's never made it because he's always too sick. But any of our friends listening to me that know John Del Santo, please give him a call, give him a fax, give him something, because he's been a great aid to our, not just our show here, to all the motorcycles and the cycle rights. And it's tough to see him lose his. He's a big boy now, too, with the diabetes. He's not riding anymore, so that's kind of rough.
No, he's got his trike, but it's still parked right around the corner.
He can't too much there. Yeah.
What? No, now he's driving a scooter. But what do you think of that song, Pete?
That song always sticks. It's been stuck in my head for a long time. I love it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen people make videos out of it. Red and whites, and with that song, and that's a great song. Who sings it?
Yeah, we got one. We got a friend of ours that he has a band called Attica 7.
Who sings that? That they sing that?
That's European.
No, those guys are out of Germany.
Who sings Forever Angel?
The Deutschland, German red and white.
It's a band called Axel Rudi Pell.
Oh. Interesting.
I'll send you the link.
Yeah, thanks. Cool.
No matter which organization you're with, though,
you
tell everybody.
Yeah.
You can get good with
it. If you got a YouTube account, or just pop in YouTube and go to the videos, and just type in Axel Rudi Pell.
Spell it out, please.
Alex is A L.
For me, for him.
I am.
All right.
Alex is A L E X Rudy, R U D A D I, and Pell is P E L L.
Alex Rudi Pell. Yeah, I mean, I've watched many videos with that song, and people, like I said, on YouTube, people have made video, usually red and 80, you know, most, yeah, every time red and white videos with that song, and I'm like, ah, it's a cool song. And then when you played it on the show a couple times, I was like, damn, I got to find out who sings that song. I like it.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, just type in Axel Rudi Pell, it'll come right up. There's like six or seven versions, but the one I just played is the first one. And it has a lot of pictures worldwide.
Mm-hmm. These are all our German friends over there doing that. You were telling about some of our California friends a minute ago.
Rusty's band Attica 7, they made a video. It's called Into the Blackness.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to attica7.com, you can see that video. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, somebody sent me a video to repost a while back, but I was really sick at the time, and I can't remember who it was that sent it to me, of Attica 7.
It was me.
Oh, it was you? Yeah, and I apologize, but because I have Crohn's disease, I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I
have that, and I'm actually getting over a flare-up, and at the time that was sent to me, I wasn't on Facebook much, and I was, when you get a flare-up with Crohn's, you either end up in the hospital dead, or you end up in your bed for a week, and I was in my...
And that Tiny's got that right now.
Right, Tiny has that.
One of my riding partners has got that, and he's fighting the weight problem and everything, but...
And I wouldn't wish Crohn's on my worst enemy. I've had it since I was 10, and I'm 41.
Yeah.
I've had it for 31 years, and there's no cure. All they mainly do is if you continue to get blockages like I do, they take out part of your intestine and this and that. And there's no they can treat it, but there's no cure, and it sucks. It's like an intestinal cancer. So
yeah, our partner Tiny, like I talked about, he's got about a 50-mile radius. It's just his whole body's too racked up, and that kind of really bugs the shit out of him. But you got to know what your limitations are, and you got to accept that. And if you want to join us in the party, then just meet us in the truck or something like that. But his body's just too beat up over the years.
Yeah, I can relate to that. So let me ask you guys, now I know I've asked this before because I can remember that I asked it before. Are you on a certain night, or does it change? Or do you? So I know you reschedule sometimes your show. Is it every Thursday night?
No, it's every Thursday night. We're kicking it around, but we're probably going to go to two nights.
All right, so you just do one night, and it's every Thursday night.
Right. We're just figuring out the schedule.
And I know that I asked you before, Phil, probably like a month ago, but my brain is shot right now, so I couldn't remember. But the reason I ask is my brother, who was in the clink, and he just got out a couple months ago. I'd like to get him. He's not shy. He's not scared of anything, actually. But I told him that he'd like to get on the show because he was wrongfully imprisoned. And I think it'd be a good, like, for next Thursday. And I wanted to do this before, but he got sick, too. And he said he felt like he had to write things down before he got on the show. He's not like me. I can go on a radio show, TV, and be myself. Him, he's never been on a radio show. But he was wrongfully imprisoned. It's quite a story. They went based on his appearance as well, the arrest, the imprisonment, everything. And he got out of jail, out of prison, and he's a lot worse than he was. He's mentally ill from it. And I'd like to get him on, like, you know, next Thursday or whenever.
You talk to Screwdriver and I. There's nothing phony pretentious about us. We're just two regular guys. Tell him we'll give him whatever space he wants.
Yeah,
tell him it's no big deal talking to us. That's a guarantee.
I mean, here he is. I'm not even getting into the detail about what happened to him. We'll save that for the show. But he told me earlier, he's like, I'd love to get on one of these radio shows. And I said, Paul, we talked about it before, but you weren't ready. Well, he says, I need to write stuff down. I don't remember half the stuff. And
yeah, well,
he just wants
to write it down and just call me the day before.
Yeah, I'll do that because it's, you know, his imprisonment was wrong, and he's building a case against the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That has nothing to do with it. It's just he wants to get it out to some listeners. Maybe people can call in and ask him, look, you know, what happened here? Why did this, you know, and he'll answer them because he wants to talk about it, you know. And it was bull crap, the whole everything. The imprisonment itself was terrible. I mean, he was in general population. He has mental health issues, and they had him in general population. And something happened with a guy that came in that had committed quite a crime on a young kid, and some skinheads did some things to him, and he saw that, and he came out of prison. He was a wreck. Okay, let's put it like that. You know, anybody that's been in prison knows that first time in, when you get out, you're a mental case, and that's what happened to him. And he wants to talk about it, you know, and he wants to talk about how the judge fried his ass in court for no reason and locked him up for nothing, next to nothing. You know,
tell him he wanted to call a couple times then. Because talking to us is like throwing quarters on the pool table. As you keep throwing more quarters, you get better shooting pool. Let him call in a couple times. Let him get comfortable. We're here. We want to have a story. And more important, there may be people out there that can help him in his program to bring charges up or lawsuits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's hoping that, if anything, he wants to get the story out there. He wants people to hear it. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to being wrongfully imprisoned and arrested. And you never know. Somebody might pick up on it and say, hey, let me talk to this guy off the air, you know. But that's not what he's going on for. He's going on like me to try to make a difference and say, hey, listen, you know, don't let these people lock us out.
I'm making a call while you're talking, Pete. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
And it's not just all about him. His case is going to help other people.
Exactly.
Other people are going to hear it and say, wait a minute, I've got problems too.
That's why I always talk about my story, to try to help other people. Anybody that knows the Mass State Police knows what they do, you know. So we'll shoot for like next Thursday. I'll get a hold of you beforehand.
Yeah, we'll sure target all that, yeah.
Sure.
Because he took a nap and then he woke up and I was on the radio with you guys and he wanted to get on, but he's like, wasn't ready, you know. I says, wait till next week.
He feels comfortable. Yeah, when he feels comfortable,
that's fine.
It's not easy if you've never been on any type of talk show or TV or anything, you know. It's nerve-wracking. When I first told my story in the Hermes show, I was, you know, I didn't know what to say.
Hmm. But you got to understand, we're just no different than your buddy down the bar, you know.
Oh, I know.
I want to know, and what's more important, there's people out there that uncomfortable to call in, but they need to hear your story. And maybe they'll get some confidence or courage to say, hey, I've got a story to tell. We have to share this because the government ain't going to help us out at all.
No. And believe me, guys, there's a lot more to my story. That's why I'm saving it for another show. I only gave you the five-minute version. There's a lot of things, and I won't get into them tonight because, you know, don't have a hell of a lot of time left, but there was so many other things that the state police did to me that was I was so violated, man, because of my appearance and the things.
Hold on 1 second. Hello, Andy.
Yes.
Hey, it's Philip. How you doing, man?
Who is it?
Philip from San Diego.
Oh, how you going, mate? I'm just driving at the moment.
Okay. You want me to call you back, or?
Yeah, look, I'm just about to go into a screening, so I can give you a call back when I get out.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, mate.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Bye-bye. Okay, no worries, mate. Take care.
You know the Sons of Anarchy, Pete?
Yeah.
You know who that was?
I recognize the voice now. That's cool. You got some connections there, huh?
That's the president of the Belfaster chapter.
I reckon, as soon as you said Sons of Anarchy, I recognize the voice. Cool, man.
Every now and then we like.
Every now and then I try and liven things up, you know?
We start to
aggravate
people.
I thought
you
were some guy from England, you know?
Australia. We do have one of the English friends of ours who calls in from London, Evil E, an awful lot, though he's not on tonight.
Yeah, I know him very well.
We have different countries calling in, different people we know.
I'll have to get my friend on here eventually. He was in, I have a friend from, he was in the Road Warrior Part 2.
Oh, yeah?
He played Wes, the maniac with the orange mohawk. He's a friend of mine. He's from Australia. He lives in California, and he likes to do stuff like this. And you know, he played with Mad Max with Mel Gibson in Road Warrior 2. And I work with him on some things, getting him into some shows and doing autographs. And I'll have to get him on the show some night, and he can talk about his experiences with working with Mel and the Road Warrior and all the cool cars and everything that went on. He, if you remember the movie, it was Road Warrior, Mad Max 2. He was the one with the mohawk, the orange mohawk.
Yeah, I can picture that now.
His name is Vernon Wells.
I've done some TV programs, and I always want to be the leading man. They always put me as the criminal, the prisoner, the bike gang people. I think I got a good-looking face. Why am I always relegated to this violent person? I don't. But every TV show I'm on, it's, no, you're over here, you're over here. I don't know. I think they're afraid of me. That's what I'm thinking. I'm probably too pretty for TV.
Well, yeah, you're probably right.
No, I'm not. That was a hell of an exaggeration. If anything, I assure you, I have the perfect face for radio.
I've been approached by a film company to star in a couple low budget films, and they wanted to make me the killer in the movie. So
I always get the bad rap. Yeah. Oh no, you belong over here. Nice guy. Don't know what the problem is. You know, we're talking about your friend having a book made. Magazines have asked me several times, and I tell them, I need my wife to pass away before you put a book out. I don't want 1960s to be out there while my mother and my wife's still alive.
Well, you and Gino have that in common then, because he feels the same way. You heard what he said, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. No.
I can definitely respect that. I can definitely respect that.
I don't want my mama picking up the phone saying, "Hey, what were you doing in 1970? Oh, Jesus. No.
So are you on Gino's Facebook page?
I think so, yes.
You are?
Philip is, yes. Bill's not on anything.
Oh, we got to get Bill on a Facebook page.
No, he's got one for the shop.
I don't even pay attention to that. No, I'm such a pain
in the
ass.
It can be pretty addicting.
Yeah, I can't reach me anywhere at all. Even when I go on runs, the only good thing about the people I know, if my wife needs me for an emergency, she can page or contact one of my friends, Screwdriver, any of the guys. I just, riding the motorcycle is so important to me. I got to tell you this here. I need the oneness with the motorcycle. I need to hear the engine. I need to be alone with my own thoughts. I cannot be called on the phone. It can't be done. That's how important it is to me. We go on a long run. She can reach one of my friends, and I'll pick up their phone and talk to them. But other than that, once I leave, I leave. I'll never come back. Hey, bring him in. Yeah.
Sounds like me when I'm gambling. I need to be by myself. I need to feel the slot machine.
another crazy friend coming in a second here. You're going to enjoy hearing from this wild man.
Well, if we can get him.
Where the hell did
Hello?
You
hear me?
Hello?
You're on the air. Bill Kennedy, speak, brother.
Oh, I think you called me.
Yeah, we're looking for Merlin. Is he there?
Oh, no, he's not here. He's at Beata's.
Oh,
okay.
You know Beata, right?
Yes, of course we know Beata.
Oh.
The teacher, right? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Mesa College professor, yes. I know.
Okay, this is the Phil and Bill show. You're on live talk radio right
Phil?
Now.
Hi, Bill Kennedy. I've heard a lot about I'm very familiar with both of you, and I'm interested on being on the air. But let's see. I think Merlin just texted.
Get you nervous at all? But right now, there'll be people in 30 countries that listen to you every single word.
Oh,
but don't
God.
Get nervous; you'll be fine.
Okay.
30
right,
countries.
View now.
But don't get nervous.
Germany, Canada, Australia, Brazil, South Korea, United Kingdom, Denmark, New Zealand, France, China.
Wow.
One guy in China. That's
one guy in Iran.
And one guy in Iran.
But don't get nervous.
Oh my.
What about Massachusetts?
Well,
what about Massachusetts?
They're all bikers, right? So.
That's right.
We all have a. There's always a connection there. So.
You gotta mention Boston.
Has,
Hang on, Pete. Let me introduce you.
Go ahead.
This is the other caller is Pete from Boston.
Hello.
Okay.
You want to tell us who you are?
Me?
Are you still with us, caller? Did she leave us?
I don't know. Is she on a cell
phone?
Well,
I'm here.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I'm Kathleen Bianco, but
can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I know.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm Pete from Boston. I'm on the show tonight.
Hi,
I'm a
Pete.
Guest. Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. What do you have?
What do I have?
Are you
I don't
up
have
to?
Much, but I'll share it with anybody.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm in San Diego, like Bill.
Well, I live in Boston, so I'm freezing my ass off here.
Oh, I bet.
We got lots of snow too.
Oh,
people
my
in
goodness.
California make me jealous. I can't believe the weather.
Are you sure you go to Scotland?
You go to Scotland again. There you go. I can't get in the country, man. anyway.
Yeah, we're supposed to have, like, the, you know, coldest thing this weekend, and it's going to be a record cold spell. It might get down to 45 degrees.
45 is a heat wave here. It really is.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
it
exactly.
When it hits 30.
So I have to be careful how I speak about freezing.
Well, when it hits 30 here, it's a heat wave, because nothing freezes anymore. Well, 35.
Yeah.
Kathleen, I had a question for you, please, or a request, rather. Could you possibly give Merlin a call at Beata's and have him call the show up here?
Absolutely. I certainly would. I'd love to do that. I will do that right now.
Could you call us? Could you write this phone number down, please? Kathleen?
Okay.
347-826-7753.
347-826-7753. Give me the last ones again. 347-826-7753. Got it.
All right.
Okay,
then.
I will call him over there right now, and I will have him get on the show because I'm
Thank
sure
you very much,
he's
Kathleen.
Off to a new adventure. So I'm sure you guys want to hear all about it. So.
Okay. Thank you again for calling.
Good to talk to you, Phil and Bill.
I know, it's good to hear your voice.
I'm just thrilled that you called me. So.
Not that exciting, but Screwdriver's exciting, and Pete from Boston's exciting, but, you know, I'm just plain old Bill.
Yeah. Okay, bye, Pete from Boston, too.
Okay, take care. Stay warm.
I am. I'm trying.
So am I. I ain't working.
No, I know.
I'm freezing.
Well, I am working, but it's not, you know, it's not a permanent thing. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You guys have a great evening. Love you, too.
Thank you, dear.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You know, Pete, what I just did was I called my friend's wife up, and what she just said was, my husband's at his girlfriend's. She's calling the girlfriend up now. So the husband's going to call back here in a few seconds.
Oh, man. This show's getting hotter by the minute.
Wife, though, it's the ex-wife. They're okay and everything. They're all right with that, you know. Times come and go. They're okay. I've known this one guy I'm going to call a few seconds. I've known him 30 years. Never met his wife, but seems like a nice girl.
I guess that's why I'm single.
Well, my problem is I married one of those Italians, and my wife told me that she doesn't mind being called the widowed Mrs. Kennedy. She will never be the divorced Mrs. Kennedy, and if I ever leave, she goes, don't worry about it. You'll never get beyond the driveway. I'll put a bullet in you.
Wow, I like her already.
Nice, quiet girl that I married 40 years ago.
You corrupted
her. She goes, listen, buddy, I put up with your shift too many years. You're staying just where you are. In fact, when she says, when I die, you'll appreciate this.
Oh, we're going to put her on the show.
We don't want my wife anywhere. My wife's going to have me cremated, though. Put me in an urn. Place me in the mantle in the fireplace so she can say, well, bastard, I know where you are this weekend anyway. That doesn't sound right, you know?
I know a few people like that, man.
I tell my wife, sometimes I'm just misunderstood. She's been very patient all the years. She traveled with me all over Europe, all over everywhere, with all the club people and all that. Very classy lady, put up with my shit.
Let's see if we can get a hold of T-Rod.
Okay, we're calling a friend of ours now who's he's built a sidecar bike.
Yeah.
Only bike on the circuit powered by a Harley motor.
Cool.
If you go to, I'll put it up in the chat, but if you go to, you can see it.
Church, maybe something.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah, he didn't recognize the number.
Or he recognized the damn number. He's not going to talk to us.
No.
Maybe he's got something going on. Maybe he's in bed. Maybe he's watching, you know, who knows?
No, he's working on a bike.
Well, I was going to attempt to have my brother jump on for 5 minutes, but he's snoring away. And he just woke up.
We're going to be here for another half hour if you want to try again. We're still here. If he wants to...
Here's the deal. Okay, Paul, it's Phil and Bill.
Hi. Pete, if he says a few words tonight, it'll be easier next trip, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, now,
I'm
going to
play
on.
One of...
Wait, are you done here now?
Yeah, they know about his wrongful imprisonment. I'm going to have you call next Thursday and give him his audience and them a better chance to hear your whole story. But for tonight, since you've never been on the radio, just say hello, your name, and tell them what you would like to talk about next Thursday. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul? Bill Kennedy, hello.
How you
hello,
doing?
Paul.
How you
good,
doing,
how you
guys?
Doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we were
yeah.
listening to you, buddy, yeah.
How you doing?
Not bad. Not bad. Tonight's not a good night for me, but I want to bring this up and... how I was wrongfully imprisoned, and I'd like to get my story out there, and maybe if, you know, I can have some luck trying to get a lawyer who will take on this case.
Well, that's the secret to what you're doing tonight is you're letting other people know what's going on.
Yeah.
Also, you're letting other people that have a story similar to yours stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. Somebody has to do something about it.
Right.
So your story is important for yourself. It's important for other people to hear it, and it's important for other people to want to help you. So next week when you want to come on and spend some time, I assure you, Screwdriver and I are the two easiest going guys you're ever going to talk to. We're not going to make you uncomfortable. We want to hear your story, Paul, all right?
Okay, and you will.
All right.
And thank you very much, sir.
All right,
hey,
Paul.
No problem.
Now,
hey.
Listen, before you get off, Paul, what are you going to set up for next week? A certain time or do it that next week?
About 6:15, 6:20.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, well, it'll be 9 o'clock here, so.
Okay.
It's and 9 o'clock.
If you want 5 minutes, 10 minutes, don't worry about the time frame. Don't worry about it. Take it easy. We want to hear your story. And again, there's other people out there that need to hear your story too, buddy. You're helping a lot of people. What you're doing?
Okay. Thank
you. All right, pal. Nice talking to you.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
Okay.
Hey, Pete?
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
You have such a nice brother. He sounds all right to me.
Well, he's a little sleepy there, but he's got a good heart, and he's a good man, and he took care of his family for years, and he got screwed on that, but the prison thing really, really messed him up, and the whole situation surrounding his imprisonment was bullshit. And he was, just now a little nervous, but I told him, write some things down, go on the show, and a little at a time each week, and then you'll feel comfortable enough where you're not nervous and, shaking and everything like I used to be. And
Pete, if he stalls for a second, I'll ask a question, so don't ever worry about that. There'll never be any moment of panic and all that.
No,
what's
you
the
guys
difference in the age
right
between you and Paul?
He was going to go on Hermas one night, and he did go on Hermas one night for like a second, and he was very nervous because there was a lot of people on, and everybody was going crazy, you know how it's on his show, and he was like, whoa, I don't know if I can do this talk show here. I says, well, you can do it, you just need a little practice. I says, we're going to call in a Phil and Bill too, so you can talk to them a little bit, and then start to feel comfortable, go on Hermas, go on a couple other ones,
Pete, what's the difference in the age between you and Paul?
He's 45 and I'm 41.
Okay.
And he's the best guy in the world you ever want to meet. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. He's a recovering. He's been clean for 6 years as of this past January off of alcohol. He hasn't drank for 6 years. He doesn't do drugs. He does smoke cigarettes. That's about it. But he's a good guy, and he has one hell of a story to tell about his imprisonment and the judge and everything that went down. And he's in for years. This happened years ago. So we don't really know if he can't hear me now. We don't really know if he has a case now because it's been a while. But he wants to get it out.
Talk to Hermas and get a hold of Jubert and see what he wants. He'd like
I plan on doing that. Believe me, I know Mark. He's helping me with my case, my appeal, and I'm going to at least have my brother talk to him face to face at his office because Gino has talked to him also about some things, and I'm going to straight out ask him, hey, does the guy have a case or not? Do you know anybody that will take it? But Paul mainly wants to get it out there so people will hear it and that can relate. Like you said, there's a lot of people that can relate to that. Wrongful arrest, wrongful imprisonment, police brutality, discrimination, biker discrimination. I told my friend who's black. I said,
hey,
I know.
Been hold for a second. I got this call coming in here.
Right.
Caller 951, are you live and well?
Hey, you talking about Merlin? That would be me.
See you. Yeah, that was me calling your ex-wife up.
Yeah, I know.
How'd that grab you?
Yeah, well, apparently my hiding plan isn't working near as well as I thought.
Hey, what happened? You step out of California. Where'd you go? What's going on? How come I don't hear about you?
No. Actually, every time I get ready to leave, I lose a friend.
Yeah,
I've
lost our age.
Four friends since middle of December. Mm-hmm. And even this week, father of a longtime friend of mine who I lost in December, he passed away this week. So I'm still in San Diego with every hope of making it to Daytona Bike Week. But I got a feeling I'm in for a long, fast ride across the country to do it.
Well, don't go through Georgia.
Georgia's the problem this season, is it?
Yeah, it's also motorcycle safety checkpoints and
all kinds of bullshit
going on over there.
Hey, listen, amigo, March 5th or 4th, we got a big SWAT meet at my shop. It's open to the public. Come on down, The group Wolfpack are going to put a big SWAT meet on. They're charging vendors and giving that money to Ronald McDonald Charity House. But for other guys that want to come in and just buy stuff, it's all free. So come on down for that, all right?
Yeah. In fact, there's a couple of things I'm actually going to look for.
All right. I'll get back to you, too, because on the 8th or the 9th, I forgot, of April, or whatever, I'll get you a flyer on that. Phil thinks it's the 2nd, I'm not sure. I got that diabetes run. The paralyzed vet run. It's going to start down the VA hospital. It's going to end up, I've taken it away from my shop. I need more space, and the local Elks Club gave me like 2 acres.
Really?
Inside
fantastic.
The Elks Club, outside the Elks Club, everything. So you get a chance to maybe do the run or just come on down and visit me at the end of the run.
Hey,
and the following day, I think, we'll find out, I got that bike blessing in my shop. Did you ever come down for that bike blessing?
I did, yeah.
Well, I got that coming up again, so that might be something. We'll try to get dates to you. Try to make what you can make and all that. But so, again, going back to you now. So you've been in California the whole time?
Yeah, I've done a little, you know, some oddball out and about and then pull back in, taking care of, you know, friends and family and whatever else. You talk about paralyzed vets. I had a very nice couple of hours talk with my brother Steve.
How is he? Last time I was with him, remember, I told you he had the cane. He wasn't walking very good.
He went through a degenerative process that put him into a walker, put him into a wheelchair, and then finally, at one point, he described it as, I thought I was going to be driving a wheelchair with my mouth. The VA figured out what was wrong, went in on an emergency surgery, worked on 5 vertebrae in his upper, above his shoulders, and cleared calcium spurs that were pinching the nerves. He is a bunch recovered. And
by the way, your brother is who, please?
Steve Bianco. HLDL, DOLD.
What did you tell me first? He was a Vietnam vet, wasn't he, sir?
Vietnam vet. The injuries have been traced back to the morning he earned his Purple Heart. The actual story that still, and apparently the VA is having a ball with this one, the official documentation still shows the smart-ass remark he gave the donut dolly in the hospital at Da Nang, which was, right after she said, are you hurt? And he's in plaster from nose to toes. He said, no, I was getting out of the limousine. We took Diana Ross and the Supremes back from the concert, and I was getting out of the limousine. Somebody said, free cold beer, and I got trampled in the stampede. And she wrote it down. And it
your
brother
is a man of many words, sir.
He's a smart ass.
Hang on a second. I want you to say hello to a friend of ours, Pete from Boston. You still on the phone, Pete?
Yeah, hello.
Pete.
This is our friend
Good
Merlin. Merlin, say hello to Pete from Boston.
Hello, Pete. I plan on being there in August, actually.
Yeah, it's a good month. Right now it's freezing here and there's lots of snow.
it's about to freeze here tonight, too, they tell me. But
back to your brother's health condition. I deviate a little bit because I don't want Pete, jump anywhere
That's
if
okay.
you want, but tell me what's going on there.
So, apparently that official report has been picked up and is now being passed around the Paralyzed Veterans Association, PVA, and the VA as just one of the more humorous things that anybody's come across in a long time. And because it quickly shows up that, oh, God, this was a smart-ass remark and somebody made it official. Garbage in, gospel out, one of those things. And but his health... He's looking better. He is still has a little bit of nerve pinching going on towards his right leg, but he's with one cane, the recovery after they relieved the pinching of the nerves, and I mean an emergency surgery. I guess they pulled people back in off the golf courses on a weekend to do it. They told him he couldn't go home. They were going to do it as soon as his stomach had passed enough hours past the last meal. That's how worried they were. But they pulled it off, and he's going to be fine. It's just neat as hell. And,
Merlin, listen, I want to restart for a second. In old time I've known you, we've gone on so many rides, I can't even begin to think of them. But
there were
you and
three.
I and your brother – went on a ride down to Ensenada one time. Can you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I want to
well,
tell all of our listeners.
We did Ensenada a couple times, but Steve and I only did it once with you.
Yeah.
And,
I did it many times, but I want to try to bust everybody's balls here for a second. You and I went past, and your brother, we went past Rosarito. We're heading south down to Ensenada, and they came to a cross on the road. And there was a road that went inland, and there was a road that went by the Libra along by the coast. You two got into an argument, not a vicious argument. I want to go by the coast. I want to go inland. I listened to you go
that
back
was,
and
yeah.
assume one of you would agree or disagree, and you would come to some conclusion. And I swear to God, after you two are arguing, you both went separate ways. I have never seen this in my life. We're in a foreign country in the middle of nowhere. And you want to go one way, your brother wants to go another way, and whoosh, off you go. I have seen that. It shows both of you are strong-willed people.
We did it in Twin Falls, Idaho, on the way to Sturgis in 90. I left him in a bar in Twin Falls, Idaho, in the afternoon because I wanted to go to Sturgis, and he wanted to wait for something. And he wouldn't tell me what he was waiting for. Later on, he would tell me that there were a girl he used to know and date here in North County, and a couple of girlfriends, and the hot tub got bigger, and the steaks got thicker, and the beers got colder, and the blondes got better every time he told the story. But we literally left each other. I left him in the bar because he was waiting for something, and I wanted to go to Sturgis. And, yeah, we've done that before. And
I mean,
a couple of days later, we go, okay, fine.
An agreement. Nope, you present your case. He presented his case, and you both took off. And I went, Jesus, they don't know where they are. No problem, I guess.
We developed an agree-to-disagree format years ago. 109 years ago, we figured out, I ain't going to change him. He ain't going to change me. I'll see you later. And it works, because neither one of us has ever pulled a gun on the other.
you guys are close, but how's his son doing, by the way? I haven't seen him in a while either.
Jay is doing great. The kid is waiting, big and good looking for his own good.
He's a big boy.
He's 6'9".
Yeah, he's healthy.
He's one of those guys that walks in a doorway and it's hard to tell where the door was and he is. He just fills a doorway. But he's doing very, very well. They have Quig's bike in the garage there. I walked in, looked at that thing, and went, son of a bitch, look at that. Now
Quig's
I know where
that?
Quig's bike is. Quig's?
Oh, Quigley's? Quig's bike, yes. And who's Quig for our listeners, please?
Richard Quigley. Yeah. He ran for sheriff in Monterey County at one point. Richard Quigley is one of America's premier freedom fighters. Wrote the Freedom Fighter Handbook. And if you got involved in the California helmet law, sooner or later you dealt with Quigley or Bianco. Steve and Quig were two of the sharpest paper putters together that came down the pipe. Attorney General of California Grayson and Highway Patrol Hannigan. These guys were amazed what this truck driver and this itinerant freelance writer were putting together because their paper was so strong they could walk into any court. And it's their paper that's hung up in the Ninth Appellate. And the Ninth Appellate is afraid to make a decision because any decision takes out the law. The paper's so strong.
Right.
Oh, these guys were beautiful. It was an amazing thing to watch them work.
Well, you know about the abate bill 695, right?
I have heard they're putting in another one. And abate and I, long time ago, I thought they were going in after compromises, and I wanted to go for the throat. But they've done an awful lot of holding the wall back, and it's good stuff they've accomplished.
Merlin, hold for a second. Pete, are you trying to jump in and ask a question? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was me. Gino was beeping in on me. And I called
here in the background.
My cell phone. I'm on my house phone. I called from my cell phone. I says, where the hell did you go? His phone died. It was dying when he got off earlier. So you might have heard me talking to him. I'm sorry. He said he's going to try
to call in as long as his
phone doesn't die before the show's over.
Well, since I'm still with Pete in Boston, Merle, let me deviate a little bit. Why are you going back to Boston?
Well, for one, I'm going to be on the East Coast wandering around, as is my want. But actually, my daughter's in-laws, part of that family is in the Boston area and have been since the 1700s. In fact, the family, one of the members of the family built the house that Thoreau was born in. And so I'm going back for family. I'm going back to be on the East Coast And family reunion is why I will be in Boston in August. And
you'll have to look me up, brother.
I would like that very much, Pete, because
I'm a good guy.
I know nobody in the family knows bike roads, and I would love a tour guide and a bike partner, you know, just to cover that in. And I'll tell you what, America's bikers are the neatest people. Any way you want to come up against them,
I'm gonna give Phil my number off the air, and he can give it to you.
Thank
Bill.
You very much, Pete. I really would
shoot me an email.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And you call me when you get here to town, bro, and we'll hang out.
I'd like that.
I'm not into any
like
drinking
that.
Or crazy shit anymore, but I am a good tour guide and a good person to ride with.
Pete,
my level of crazy shit.
Merlin, excuse me. Pete, keep your hand on your wallet, okay?
Yeah. it's
true, Pete. I got to admit, it's true. I've been running off the cuff for so long, even Bill knows that I walk in broke and says, "Ah, crap, take it, it's free." not often, but he has done it on occasion. And much to some of his, detractors who say he's never given anything, I can prove he has. But
don't spread that
anyway.
Story.
It's okay. It's on the internet. Nobody will ever notice.
Hey guys, I'm putting Gino on speakerphone. I think he's losing his mind. I told him to just call back in for a few minutes.
Gino, you still there? Jump in, buddy.
Hold on, it's ringing now. Hey,
all right. Merlin wants you to meet him too. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Merlin, you got to meet this guy. Gino.
You guys are gonna make
the guys on the other phone. Call in real quick. Everybody's waiting to meet you. Your phone charged? Get a cup of coffee and jump on, because the show's over in 12 minutes.
Sounds like Gino's my...
We're waiting for you.
Merlin
is waiting for you. Call in, Gino. You get the number?
Gino! Where you been all my life?
Call in right now, bro. He'll give you a call in. He's getting up there in age, so he's not...
he's my age, Merlin. I'll tell you right there.
Well, no, but you're a lot more sharp than he is. He's losing it. Well, you know why? Because he has to deal with me and my brother. He has to deal with his own kids. He has to deal with his other kids.
Merlin, I'm sorry. Gino, you on now? You're clicking in. Gino, are you there?
I'm here.
There he is.
Vasta.
Pete, why don't you introduce Merlin to Gino, okay?
Merlin, that's Gino Gentile. He's from Massachusetts also, and he's a good guy, and he's 65 years old, so he's been around, and you probably know him. I don't know. Say hello, Gino. That's Merlin.
Yeah, hi,
Gino.
Merlin.
How are you?
Yeah, if you want a tour of Massachusetts, ask me, because I know all the back roads, because the cops used to chase me in between and stuff like that.
Yep, me
hey,
too.
Hey, take him down the combat zone. Drop him off, all right?
Yeah. Oh, I've been there many times.
Yeah, the combat
zone. Merlin, you don't know what that is, but they'll take good care of you, I promise.
Oh, no, yes, I do. Yes, I do know what that
okay.
is.
Okay.
The combat zone,
yeah.
I was there.
No, I've never been there, but there's a certain number of legends that keep right on trucking.
Actually, it's closed down now. Yeah. Disney bought part of it or something. I don't know. There's no more. Chinatown is there, but not the combat zone.
So an e-ticket is a whole different ride now, is that it?
That's right.
We Chinese movies were all there. They used to have all the martial arts movies.
Yeah, they did.
They, I don't know if they still do them, but you used to go, you watch three martial arts movies in the afternoon. I used to go there because my old lady worked down the street at the strip joint. So it was pretty cool.
Boy, you got more interesting by the minute, Gino. I didn't know that about you.
I'm beginning to think
work at a strip joint in the combat zone.
I'm a little worried about Gino. He could be at a strip joint, but he's going down the street and watch a movie. I'm a little worried about this.
Well,
that's his style,
Chinese
bro.
Movies.
That's his
Chinese
style.
Movies at that. I'm beginning to think.
The last thing I wanted to see was my old lady making a lot of money. So,
why not?
Oh, you've missed one of the beauties of the capitalistic system.
Yeah, I know.
you know, freeloading is a great art. You know, I live on the motorcycle. It's the most expensive shopping cart a homeless man can have. It's great.
I miss, let me tell you.
You miss her or you miss the zone?
Sure, because I could go all the way to California and back, and she'd always be sending me money. And I tell you, the woman never cheated on me, didn't play games with me. She made that as a, she made it as a living. Had nothing to do with going out with dudes or.
There you go. Yeah, I'm beginning to think Bill Kennedy and I are the only guys that never married a stripper.
Well,
and
me.
Yeah.
And me.
And you?
I dated strippers, but I never married one.
I got to give Bill Clinton credit. At least the girl he cheated on his wife with was better looking than his wife.
Oh, no, I didn't say Clinton. I said Kennedy. Bill Kennedy.
And
A, Bill would never consider cheating on Kathy, and B, Kathy would kill him. So,
well, he fucked up there when he taught her how to use a gun. Yeah.
I think her dad got a hold of that a long time before Bill got involved, or maybe just after Bill got involved. Either way.
No, Merlin, my father-in-law really thought I was a stand-up guy. My mother-in-law thought I was a piece of shit. But you know what? That was her issue.
And at various times, I've agreed with each one of them. I loved your in-laws, Bill. Kathy's parents were great people, and an absolute pleasure every single time I met or dealt with them. You know, and Kathy is the absolute personification of.
Did you like my mother-in-law?
I do.
Merlin?
Yeah.
She never liked me. She never liked me at all.
And my mother-in-law did.
You get Metro number in Boston if you're going out that way. How long are you going to be out in the East Coast, Merlin? How long?
As far as I know, it looks like probably a year.
Wow.
You know, unless I find some reason to go somewhere else.
Why the hell would you want to be here?
You know,
Merlin only wants to just travel. If it's a great location, it doesn't matter. The man has just got to keep moving.
I just want to keep moving. It's just I've done everything else, and this is what I seem to do best, is wear out motorcycles.
Yeah,
and,
none on the East
Coast. Hey, Gino, you keep breaking up.
I lived in South Carolina and toured the East 40 years ago, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. Because now I've got bold friends in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's going to rain. It snows like anything.
I got rained on in Death Valley and snowed on in Nevada in May of last year, and then 8 other states through August. Doesn't bother me anymore. It's just something you deal with, because somewhere on the other side of the rainstorm is this really neat road or a hell of a bakery, and I sometimes don't care which one.
That's a great attitude to have, man.
You know, I like this place I'm playing with.
You know, Merlin, I'm afraid Merlin keeps on running because he's afraid old age is coming after him. He's keep running to keep fighting it.
Do you remember the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose and how Mrs. Winchester was building it because they said if she stopped, she would die? Welcome to my world. The last road
trip. They said that had to be built 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to keep the evil spirits away. Absolutely correct, Merlin.
This is my ride is called the last road trip, because if you never finish, you never have to start another one. And that's it. Me and the LRT. You know, so far 20 states and 25,000 miles, and you know,
we're gonna put your road trip up, Merlin. We're gonna put your itinerary up before you go, so other people can get in contact with you as you're going across the this great country of ours again.
There is no plan. I know La Clina goes
that,
on in June.
You know, the people might want to talk to you, so we got to let them know when you're going.
Yeah. So I sometimes know a week ahead of time as to about where I'll be. I know I want to be in Laconia for June for the races up there. And then there's the old Dairy Mart thing in New Hampshire that I heard about when I was in Connecticut.
Have you ever been to Laconia before?
No.
It's a great time.
And that's what I'm looking forward to.
The great
time.
They've been doing it for 60 years.
Yeah, and I did Daytona in 71. I had hopes of making Daytona this year, but I had hopes of making Key West on New Year's Eve. That didn't happen either. But I've still been having a great, great time. You know, after a while, you get pretty good at funerals. My friends are dying because they're having a good time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You stand there and you...
They start dying like anything.
Yeah, well, I don't know. As long as I keep getting older, I'm okay. It's when you stop getting older that it gets to be a little difficult to ride.
That's right, man. That's that. You got it right there.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm always 39.
You know, I'm lucky. I get to look at it going, let's see, my brother's still 19. I must be only 21 and a half. But he died at 19, so I've been able to hold my mental age right about there. My older brothers, however, their little brother is 62 years old, so, you know, they're getting old. But
Erwin, tell these
yes.
guys, my being 63 years old, these guys have a hard time hanging with me. I work pretty hard, don't I?
I've been dealing with a guy that's 84 years old in Minnesota, and it's amazing because I'm going, holy crap, I got to live another 12 years to get to this guy's, you know, 22 years to get to this guy's age. And he's trying to figure out how to learn to date. He's 84, and he's trying to learn how to date because his wife died a couple of years ago. His second mistake was asking me for advice, but I cured him of that fallacy. You know, I can tell you how to deal with ex-wives. After that, I get stupid. But,
I don't know. I've been three times, and one committed suicide, so I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're worse than I am then. I feel better.
Guys, I only got a couple of minutes left here. So,
what's your point,
Bill? No. I'm just saying the show's going to be shut off and all that. I just want you guys to be aware of it.
I know. I want to thank you for calling Kathy and doing this, Bill. I was... I not realized it was Thursday, and Kathy is one of my ex-wives, Pete, and Bill was able to call her and say, what the hell, all right, call Merlin, find out what the hell he's doing and see if he'll call in, and I appreciate that.
Now, listen, remember what I said about my phone number.
I will
send
email,
my phone number to Phil, and he can give
I'll
it to you.
I'll email Screwdriver. Yeah, I'll email Screwdriver, and I'll swap him over all my info, so you've got it, too. And,
come to Massachusetts and hang out with us.
I'd like that.
That's one hell of a crew here.
And I now can tie people into other good people all over the country. It's really getting fun.
Well, like I said, speak for Merlin. He's ridden across Mexico. He's ridden all over everywhere. So we're going to shut it down now. We're going to shut it down. Very quickly, Merlin. We have Kathleen on the phone. I think she's more interesting than you are, brother.
You talking about my wife, my ex-wife, or your current wife?
Yes, I think your wife's more interested in you. I might call her more often.
I can't believe that, but, you know, what the hell.
All right, we're shutting it all down tonight.
She's,
gentlemen.
She's a great person, and I don't ever want to say anything other than that out loud. She's been great.
Well, that's it. We got to shut down. I want to thank everybody tonight.
Yeah, and you guys shoot me a quick email, and then I'll send you the exchange of information.
You bet, Screwdriver.
All
right. And... You
Pete,
guys are invited
Gino,
back anytime, Pete. Pete, next
thank you.
Week,
we appreciate it.
Time he needs.
Yeah, Paul's not a good guy. Be fine.
Yeah, we're going to get Paul on next
college.
Thursday.
Good to hear from you.
Take care. Good
luck. Anytime.
All right. God bless you, gentlemen.
All right.
All right,
take
brother.
Care.
Take care, Miguel.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
All right,
good night,
Gino,
guys.
Paul, Pete, everybody, good night. To all the listeners out there, we both want to say good night to everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Nice people. Say good night to our friends, I guess.
Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Going home for dinner.